Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Carla thought I was a little too over the top with it, where I'm whispering, it's like, I don't like Critter Man.
Critter Man.
That's right. And I was saying, Carla, I just wanted to hear Rob say that.
Critter Man.
That's all. Critter Man don't play that way.
Hey, look what he's got. Critter Man's got a snake.
We tend to feel hungrier and eat worse when we're sleep deprived. You didn't need a study for Dr. Chicago to tell you that.
Dr. Larry Chicago?
I got a patient about six pills. And I swear to God, I think he plays video games till 5 a.m. every night. Maybe gets about 2 hours. He's as big as Soldier Field.
Do you offer him any advice?
No, I just offer him candy bars.
I traded with one of the Russian border guards when I went in to get my papers and all that. We did a trade. And I got the 3 hat pins for a Bic lighter and a copy of Swank magazine.
Swank! One of the great old ones there. Swank magazine.
Yeah. All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Oh, boy, I miss Don Rickles. I was watching that documentary on Don Rickles last night.
Mr. And, Warmth?
Man, oh, man. You know, the guy we interviewed,
Joe
Coyne.
The guy that worked with
his
Sinatra.
Manager.
Yeah.
His manager. He's featured prominently in that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Tucson, Arizona. Sanibel Island, Florida. Santa Monica. Nelson, New Zealand. Janesville, Wisconsin. And Beijing, China, where they've got a sporting event going.
You know,
this
Mike, it's Wednesday and you still haven't said Nelson, New Zealand with the right accent, I don't think. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So we're very, very happy to be with you on a fabulous Wednesday. And the very beginning of the documentary about Don Rickles has his opening from, I don't know how many years ago it was, that he was doing stand-up, and it is so politically incorrect.
Yep.
It is so deliciously politically incorrect. And I realized that he used to get away with that all the time, and
it's
funny.
It's weird. I had the exact same talk with my mom.
So innocent.
Last night, because what we referred to was Bob Hope's 180th birthday party or something, and he came out and just started making fun of people in the crowd.
Yeah, and their heritage.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all he does. And it made me just pause and think that folks. You know what's dangerous? Restricting certain groups that are disproportionately affected by voting locations and restricting their ability to vote because you were pissed that your team lost.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Coming out and looking at people sillily who are laughing at being made fun of,
who
are obese or black or white or Asian or whatever, that's old Rickles.
How much you weigh, Tiny?
Oh, God. He's just... I mean, I miss him. I miss the opportunity to see him. And it just, when you watch that and then you're watching the interview, and one of the guys interviewed for the piece was Bob Saget.
Oh, wow.
And then I just spiral into this depression about, tomorrow promised to no one. I'm sitting there watching this. But so funny. And so funny at all times. Just the greatest line he would ever do, and I always thought the ballsiest, was not with ethnic people. He would walk up to somebody, did this concert, probably once a show, and he said, he'd sit there with somebody in the front row, and he'd say, hi, how you doing, sir? Is that your wife?
Oh, boy.
Just great. Anyway, I was thinking about Don Rickles, so I wanted to say that. Miss him all the time. I probably have searched or watched on YouTube Don Rickles more than anything at all that I've watched. And I don't know why, because I'm like so many other people, like Jimmy Kimmel and John Stamos and people like that. You just love the guy, because when you watch him, there's nobody in the world that's... and it was always simple, too. It was always simple. Like, he would do the tribute to Clint Eastwood. And he'd stand up, Clint, I'm just here to tell you, you're not a good actor. And just, it was so,
Simple
and clean.
Funny. Yeah, yeah. It's like he's there.
Beautiful. It's like, yeah, it's like good cooking, right?
Yeah.
Not many ingredients, just straight ahead, but so deliciously pure that, you know, and you don't break it down. You just let it happen because it's Don Rickles.
There's Cesar Romero. He was so good in the 40s.
They'd bring him in. Yeah, they bring him in for these icons like Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
And he'd say there, Marty, because he did Casino with Marty Scorsese. He said, Marty, can we get some phone books for Marty to sit on? Just, you know. And I was watching. I said, and Carla, who's already gone to Dreamland, is nudging me. I said, what are you doing? I said, I can't help it. I'm laughing to myself out loud because that, to me, was just so much fun.
I'll send you something that you'll really like. Towards the last, probably the last 10 years of Rickles, I would capture him if he was on Letterman or Kimmel or whatever and save it as an MP3 for myself. Just save the panel. Yeah. And I've got probably a dozen
of them. And his last appearances were, you know, not in the heyday.
Yeah, but like 10 years, when I started doing it, he's still, I'll send you some stuff tonight that you'll
love. I'd love to see it.
You'll love it.
I would have loved, and they do a whole thing on Las Vegas. If you don't mind me being retro for a second.
No.
They do a thing about his wife's talking about Las Vegas, and back in those days, you would look in back of the hotel, and there would be desert, and just desert. Las Vegas was the Strip. There was nothing else there, and that's what they talked about. And they talked about, can you imagine, Oscar, if we went to Vegas for like the CES, and not only did you have what the snooty rich folks got to see, the main showroom, they would see Frank Sinatra and they would see Tony Bennett. Wow. But then you had lounge acts that were infinitely more fun, and people would pay, if that, they would pay a $5 cover charge to go in at 3 or 4 in the morning and see Don Rickles or Louis Prima and people that were just cutting up and doing all sorts of spontaneous stuff.
The headliners would close the big room and then go to the lounge to see what was going on.
And they do this big thing where they talk about when the mob controlled Las Vegas, how much better it was. And the I don't know who was telling the story, but they said that back when the mob controlled Las Vegas, you would comp somebody because, you know, they'd go in and they'd see a show and then they'd really gamble. The system that used to exist.
Right.
Which was a big guy gambling, trying to impress his wife or his girlfriend or both. And he would be in the showroom and then he would go out and he would gamble and the casino would make money. That's how they did it, almost exclusively. And then the corporations came in and the coffee shop had to make money. The restaurant had to make money. There's a, back in the day, everything was there centered around casino gambling, and it was just a different time. And I looked at that, and you know, we have a little local casino here, and it's just it has two restaurants.
Who's playing the lounge this weekend?
they bring in the retread acts, that are just a, you know, shell of what they used to be. And then they have, we went in Saturday night, had date night, went to the bad place down here, restaurant closed. Two of the cashiers closed, one place, line of 30 people. They don't care.
No.
They absolutely don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. It just, back in those days, I would have loved to be around just to see that kind of talent, you know, and now it's, you know, how many special effects can you have and all that? And just the human beings. I think, and I like to believe this with all my heart and soul, that when you're talking about a talented individual, be it a singer, be it a comedian, that is ultimately what's going to put in. Well, residencies would be that, right? In Las Vegas, when you've got somebody who's got that much talent, where you can bring in an Elton John,
it's also probably relative. If seeing a DJ is $200, if you know somebody, for just seeing someone spin records or hit play on an MP3 player, with all due respect to the artists, then
none taken.
Then seeing Adele's got to be like $1,000, right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
it has to be.
But it's still talent, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what saves the world. I mean, you still have talent. Every generation brings somebody out there that's going to be.
I don't want to hear a peep from you TMOS-aholics out there about our ticket prices. When you hear,
we offer a great value.
We are a lounge act of lounge acts.
No, actually, we're
that
big room.
We are not big room.
Because this, what you don't know is this year,
what's that?
You don't know that we've got something planned, is that we're going to play the big room and then we're going to put Pony in the lounge.
So, no, but we are a lounge act.
No, we are a lounge act. Absolutely.
We walk out on that stage and we have absolutely no idea what direction it could go in.
Mm-hmm.
We have no, and that's the joy. That's the joy. We're a throwback.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? If we were going to play, well, we did a ballroom at Circus Circus.
Yeah,
that wasn't a theater. Yeah. We've never done a big theater in Las Vegas.
No.
We've done small theaters, but if they had lounge acts, can you imagine if we put a couple of hundred people in a lounge and just did that in one of the big casinos?
We could have a cabaret open up, then we come out.
You mean like Showgirls?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Be good.
Here's how I'd like to do it if we did that. I would like to have a folk singer. And I would like to, if I had a folk singer, I would steal this from one of my favorite movies. I would like to have a folk singer who did a set, maybe 20 minutes to open up for us. And then his last song would be, I gave my love. And I would come out in a toga and I would break the guitar. That's what I like. John Belushi coming down the stairs in Animal House. That's what I'd like to do. That'd be super, super duper fun. All right, let's bring in our talking head, shall we? It's talking head time, ladies and gentlemen. Our talking head today is Mr. Wes Armstrong. That name sounds familiar to me. It's Wes Johnson. That's the PA announcer for the Capitals. Very nice. Wes started listening in 1992 and has been with the podcast since day one. He lives in New Freedom, Pennsylvania. He is twice divorced. Welcome to the club. Has been dating his girlfriend, Amanda, for 3 years. There is a slight age difference. Another thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
He has been, my God, he's making me nauseous there with that camera. He has been working as a court reporter since 1994. Another common thread.
Yes.
Here. The same year he came in and transcribed live and real time an entire episode of the Don and Mike Show. I remember that.
Yeah.
Before training as a court reporter, Wes signed up for two stints in the United States Air Force. He spent 4 years in West Berlin. Ah, that's wonderful. Unbelievable. We have a guy that I play golf with is from Germany. His main line is unbelievable. And left 9 months before the wall came down. While in Germany, he visited East Berlin, Checkpoint Charlie. A lot of people that are listening to us right now, not a lot of them, but many of them will not know what that was.
Yeah.
I do. Had a notable auto collision with a snowbank, encountered Sean Penn and Charlie Sheen, and saw Pink Floyd and Michael Jackson in concert at the Reichstag.
Wow.
He has two kids, Sergeant Nathan Armstrong, 7 years in the United States Army, and his daughter Jessica, who attended our show at the DC Improv with her dad. His favorite voice is Charlie.
Who doesn't like Charlie? They're not going to invade Ukraine.
Anyway,
Charlie,
let's see.
They might.
No, no, Rob. No, they're not. Mr. Putin doesn't want to.
Did you read the papers?
The papers. Yeah, Charlie two times. Let's see. And his favorite part of the show is listening to Julia, Robert III, and little Michael grow up. He loves that TMOS can be serious and thoughtful and still bring the funny on a daily basis. He adores Patton's DJ challenge, and he once made an amazing trade to get some Russian hat pins. Intrigued? You should be. Now here's Wes. Wes, how are you? Thanks for coming on the show. How are you today?
Good morning, everybody. Great to be with you all today.
It's great to have you here. And yes, I was. I wrote it down on my show prep today that with all the news about Ukraine and the, you know, you were right on the front lines of that kind of stuff back when the wall came tumbling down. It was a weaker time for Russia, who I've always said is the enemy. But Russia now strong like big Russian bear again. And you guys know, I mean, you know if you were around during that time, Wes, right? Russia, got to watch them carefully, don't we?
Oh, we watched them pretty carefully. We watched them up close when they would fly helicopters over my work site, and we saw convoys come up to the Berlin Wall. We would see contrails of the MiG-25 Foxbats flying over the city. So we were right there. We knew they were close by.
And I think even with the downfall of the former Soviet Union, you know, it's just top of mind. I don't know. I don't know how big a deal it would be if they did go in there. I don't trust anything that comes out of that guy's mouth. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's a tough time. One of your kids is in still in the Army. Is that correct?
Yes, he's a combat engineer with 1st Infantry Division. He actually is in SoCal somewhere for a month of combat training. He'll be out of touch until sometime next month.
Next month. And I would imagine then with a not only having served in the United States Air Force, but having an Army kid, a kid that's serving right now, you watch these things with a different, you know, with a different eye. You actually have a different perspective on the idea of a conflict anywhere in the world. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, because he was stationed in Korea for a while. About a year and a half ago, he deployed to Germany and Poland. He was messing around over there. So, yeah, I keep an eye on it, and I'm always hoping that, you know, he'll be out of harm's way. And, of course, him being the young kid just like I was, he was like, yeah, we'll light him up if we need to, but hopefully that it won't come to that.
Yeah, it's weird. And I think when you get older, you get a different perspective on that as well, as far as conflicts are concerned. So you are a court reporter. Do you still do court reporting?
I am. I'm working on my 20th year with the federal court here in Harrisburg. With the pandemic, they've been more lax about letting us work from home because we still have restrictions up in my courthouse. While I was waiting in the waiting room for y'all to sign me in, I was actually working on a jury trial that I did back in November of last year. So I was transcribing away while waiting for y'all to hook me up.
So you're the real deal. You're the guy, because there are two kinds of, my wife used to manage court reporters. So they're the people that come in there. They still have the people that come in with the voice box, and they kind of rapidly repeat what people are saying. But still, primarily, it's let your fingers do the walking, right, when you're doing that.
Absolutely. I have the steno machine. I do the machine shorthand. I real time up to my judge, means I listen to it and I'm writing it down, and it's going through a translation program and coming up into English on my screen and going right up to the judge's computer so he can see it in real time.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, go ahead, Oscar.
Wes, I want to ask you about your friend Les Armstrong. For Les Armstrong, what words do the guilty always use?
What words do the guilty always use? In federal court, most of the stuff ends up in a plea. They say they're guilty.
Got it.
Because if you're in federal court, you know, you've either got very important business or you're in really big trouble. So very few things go to trial.
Oh, wow.
When you mentioned the steno machine, is that what you see in movies that only appears to have like 10 buttons on it or 10 keys? And so what do you do combinations of keys to do the letters, or how does that work?
Right. Instead of like a regular QWERTY keyboard, like on your computer, where you can only type one letter at a time, the steno machine keyboard is laid out to write things phonetically. We have keys on the on what's called the initial side that are consonants, on the final side, which is the right hand, which are consonants, and our thumbs run four keys that are the vowels. And we can hit all of those keys all at once, and each hit of the keys is either a syllable or a word or a whole group of words all together.
Wow.
You could totally cheat on Wordle.
Yeah, you got to be great at it.
Oh, my God. Two days ago, I gave up. I went to bed. I fell asleep. I literally fell asleep playing Wordle. I was like, I cannot do this anymore. I'm incapable of this. Listen, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, about your marital status, because you put it in here. The fact that twice at the rodeo, as I was, and now right. I happen to be married to Carla, and we've been married for a few years now. And, you know, unless I'm being lied to, I've been blindsided before. I think things are going relatively well. Let me just say this, that you... let me see. You said you've got an age difference. I would assume you're the older party here, and you have been dating her for 3 years, which, in my math means, for marriage number three, you've got at least 4 to 5 years of no marriage required, which should be good. Is it a massive age difference, Wes?
Next month I'll be 58, and next May she'll be 36.
Oh, okay. Great. All right.
Well done,
right,
sir.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well done, sir. And you feel like perhaps this is the charm now? You're lucky in love?
Yeah. Amanda and I get along like I have never gotten along with any girl in my entire life. We're friends. We're lovers. We were co-workers for a while. She works at she's a line cook at a restaurant, and I actually worked with her on the weekends for a while until we went back to court full time. I was what sorry pony, but I was what they call their toast bitch, which means she was on the grill and I was down at the toast station running the running all the breads, running the gravies, running the deep fryers. I was running plates back and forth, mixing stuff,
toast
going to the prep. Yeah, they call it the toast bitch.
You know what I think we'll name today's show?
Yeah.
Toast bitch.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Toast but I was bitch. All up and down in that restaurant working, and we would work together. Sometimes I'd be with her on the grill, and then we'd get to hollering and screaming at each other because things get really busy on a breakfast shift at a family restaurant. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, we're out in the parking lot smoking and kissing and hugging and disgusting aww. Everybody with our amorous
my biscuit tastes like nicotine.
Yes. What is this? Yeah.
My biscuit tastes like nicotine. Are you, and it, since you brought it up, it's right up at the front. I, you know, we have that in common as I'm married for the third time. I have to ask you, are you a little timid about taking the plunge if that ever comes up again, you know?
I've always sworn that I'm going to be third time, no more. We've talked about it, but we've also said it'd be nice, but it's not necessary. But I've always said I want to be a little bit of, you know, Han Solo and a little bit of Kramer for the rest of my life. You know, whole bunch of Princess Leia's here and there, but no Chewbacca's.
What? You know.
Well, thank you for the Star Wars reference. That's fascinating.
I don't want to warn you here. But I will say that, I'll do a little playlet for you. Okay, Wes, listen, Rob will play the role of Carla, and I will play the role of me.
Hello.
All right, this is early in our relationship. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Mike.
Carla, you were saying you wanted to talk about something. What do you want out of life? What do you want?
I want more than anything in the world to marry and have a child.
Okay. Anyway, that's the way it went.
We'll discuss this later.
We didn't have to. It happened. Yeah, I love you too. We went down that road.
Yeah.
And you know, and I didn't know. That's why I was married a couple of times. I was an idiot. I didn't know what I wanted. Mm. And then you know, ultimately, I think what I would say to people that life surprises you, good and bad. Sometimes life surprises you where you didn't expect that it would be okay. And it was just fine. And yeah. that's the way I look at it right now. So I wish you many, many happy years with Amanda. And, you know, and as far as do you get along with either of the first two?
I never talked to him at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Why would you talk to his first two wives?
Hey, Jackie.
No.
No, you kind of move ever forward.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Is the way it goes.
You wouldn't want to, Mike, especially the second one.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Almost like the man. Don Rickles noise. Wes, yeah, I want to ask you, when you were in West Berlin, you mentioned in the pre-interview that you did go over into East Berlin while right. it was still, you know, while it was still a communist country. What was it right. like? What was the difference between East and West Berlin at the time that you were over there?
When we went over there the first time, it was a month after I had gotten over to Berlin. It was January of 85, and we took a get to know Berlin tour. We could only go over in a tour group. We could not go over in groups of four by ourselves because of my job and the clearances and all that. But it was number one, cold as all hell, and number two, it was very antiseptic, very gray. Very industrial, a lot of big concrete Soviet style buildings, not a lot of trees, and just cold is like I said, it was so cold. We went over a second time for another shopping trip, like a year or so later, but it was in August, I think. Really nice weather and, you know, pleasant. And we had a lot of East Marks to go buy stuff. We weren't allowed to talk to anybody. Even if somebody came up and said, "Hey, we're Americans here on business. How you doing?" We weren't allowed to talk to anybody. We had the Vopos follow us around, the Volkspolizei, the East German police, but they didn't mess with us really. And they were having some kind of music festival going on while I was there, and we heard them playing Van Halen, which was kind of strange.
In East Berlin.
In East Berlin.
That wow. is so cool. And it says you encountered both Sean Penn
and Charlie Sheen. And by the way, are you balancing your camera on a TV tray? I'm just kind of curious about that.
I'm sorry. This is my phone, actually. So.
Oh, it's okay. Right. It's your phone.
And Mike, I had a brain fart. It's Martin Sheen, not Charlie Sheen.
Martin Sheen. That's a big difference, Rob.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. You wanted it to be Charlie Sheen.
Probably that was the problem. Yes, I would think
Sean Penn, he has a reputation of being a little prickly occasionally. Tell me about your encounter with Mr. Penn.
Well, we were waiting for our shift bus at Eagle Square, which is the old front of the airport where I was stationed at Tempelhof. And we were sitting there, you know, hanging out, smoking, and we looked over and we saw a movie set.
Are you still smoking, Wes? Are you still smoking, just out of curiosity?
I smoke fine cigars every day, about three or four.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Not cigarettes anymore, though. Right?
No, I quit those when I was 24, when my daughter was born.
Oh, very good. Oh, good. Okay, fantastic. Go ahead. Sorry.
But we saw the movie set and the Klieg lights and the director's chair, and somebody said, "Hey, is that Sean Penn sitting in one of those director's chairs?" And we looked over, and sure enough, it was Sean Penn sitting there, not talking to anybody, sunglasses on, just kind of glowering. And we were like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." So we're sitting there waiting for the bus, and a guy comes up and says, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the base chapel is?" And it was Martin Sheen. He had walked off of set and came up to us. We said, "Yeah, it's right over there." And he said, "Okay, thanks." And he walked off. And a few minutes later, he came back. He had a quick prayer or something. I have no idea. And I looked over. I waved and said, "How you doing, Mr. Sheen?" He says, "Hey, how you doing? Have a good day." And he walked on back to the set and went about his business. But that's when they were there filming Judgment in Berlin, a really kind of crappy, you know, Cold War era.
heavy content.
Maybe
right
that's
there.
What he was praying for.
No, he was praying for his kids.
It didn't work.
He said, "Can you tell me where the chapel is? I have to light a candle for both my nymphomaniac son and my less successful son that's going to do the kids skating movie."
Mighty Ducks.
Right. Mighty Ducks. Oh, Emilio. You know. It's kind of interesting to think which Sheen you'd rather be after with the history and all that, you know?
Emilio. But
yes. Emilio?
Yeah. Yeah. I at least I would have Young Guns under my belt.
Would you call it Estevez or Estevez?
Estevez.
Okay, very good. I'm just making
Emilio sure. Estevez?
Can you tell us about, on this mic, I hate to lead here, but this was, I found this really fascinating. We were talking.
Is this the trade?
Well, yeah. Well, the whole trade.
I knew you'd be excited about the trade where he traded for the hat pins.
Well, no, but this is something that I can relate to.
Well, is it yes or no? It's not?
It is. It is.
Okay. But why'd you say, "Well, no"? Dennis? I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I could relate to this because a lot of kids in my senior class did a trip to Moscow, and one of them came back only wearing jeans and a Russian overcoat.
Whoa.
Because he had traded everything American for Russian things.
They have his shirt under the overcoat.
Yeah, he's traded his
it
shirt.
It was the '80s
because they love the American stuff, and the stuff was so unavailable over there. And he came back loaded.
Kick him off the plane
with Russian tchotchkes. So, what was the trading environment like when you
look
would
at
go
that?
Over-
he's got the Russian hat. That's the Russian hat right there.
Yes,
that's the Soviet hat pin. That's an enlisted hat pin. I had three. I lost two, unfortunately, but I still have this one. We were driving through, me and some friends were driving through the Eastern Zone to go to West Germany and then go down to, I think, Munich or Garmisch or something. And because we officially did not recognize the East German government, when we would travel through East Germany to go to the West, we would go through the Russian checkpoints because we were technically still allies, quote unquote, after the end of the war. And we had papers, we had travel orders that were in English, French, and Russian. We had our ID cards, and we'd go to the army checkpoint first and check in, and we'd get a binder that had directions and pictures of what road signs to find. We only had a time window which to do the 90-mile trip. Are y'all still there? You
froze. We're here. We're fascinated.
We got you. Good. Yeah.
I'm sorry. But if we got there late, the Americans and the Russians would load up troops and go look for us. If we got there early, we would be busted by the U.S. Army for speeding. So we had to like time our way.
But
we're driving through.
That's so weird.
We're driving through, and this is before the wreck in East Germany. But we were driving through, and I traded with one of the Russian border guards when I went in to give my papers and all that. We did a trade, and I got the three hat pins for, what was it, 20 Westmarks, which was like $5.50 at the time, a Bic lighter, and a copy of Swank magazine.
Swank! One of the great old ones there. It's Swank international magazine.
Yeah.
And you know, when I read hat pins, I got totally confused. You're talking about the military hat pins that they wore on those, which are pretty, you know. There's a black market for that, or a market for that right now. That's what they would wear on the front of their hats there.
I saw that in the Americans.
Right on the front lines. I'll ask you, even though you're not you're not coming on here professing to be an expert, but you know, you've been there at the front lines. What is your take on the current international tinderbox that's happening over in Ukraine right now?
Well, the Ukrainians and the Russians are so mixed up over there ethnically. If the Russians go in, I think there's not a lot anybody can do anything about it. It'll probably end up bad for them because they're going to lose a lot of soldiers. A lot of the world is going to be, you know, angry with them, and there's ways to get at them economically, I think.
Right.
But other than that, it's way above my pay grade. You know, I can't do nothing about it. We really can't do nothing about it. So,
yeah.
That's my take.
Mike and Wes, wouldn't you agree, though, and Rob, that, you know, we talk about this being an aggressive move from a powerful nation. I get it. They hacked our entire infrastructure when we weren't looking.
Right,
we're big
dummies.
But realistically, most of these aggressions in history and now are done out of desperation.
Yeah, because as Wes just said, Oscar, it really ultimately doesn't do much for the country. It doesn't. Maybe they're showing they're being a show of force,
flexing their muscle.
But I think that when Wes mentioned there, they're going to be some tremendous loss of life with if they go ahead and do this, and then you got the economic sanctions from the rest of the world that'll be pissed off. It's a drag.
Do you think it would help if the Ukrainians gave the Russians Swank magazine?
It might.
Right. Well, Wes, we appreciate you coming on. This is always so interesting, especially somebody who's been, served the country. Thank you so much for your service.
Yes.
And also that goes out to your son as well. This is your time where we give you a chance to say hi to anybody you want to say hi to. And before you do, I do want to say thank you for your amazing support over the years for, the Don and Mike show and the Mike O'Mara show. Really, really nice of you to support us for that long.
Right. I still have my
World of Don and Mike. God, look at that. There it is. The CD-ROM.
And I have the signed picture from Ollie All that I got.
That is Sherry. Hold that. Keep that up there for a second. Okay. Let me see. That's oh my God.
Hold it closer. Let me see if I signed it or Mike signed it.
Okay.
Oh, Mike signed that. That's a real one.
That.
Yeah.
That's
a real deal.
Sherry Elliker. That's Don Geronimo. Mm-hmm. That's me. Move it over a little bit. That's Billy Reed, Charlie Broyhill, Rob Spiewak, Rob A., and then Buzz Burbank, and our old producer, Diana Sillman. That's the old incarnation. Oh, we were so young.
That was
we were so young.
Mike, that was only 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, everybody signed that.
That's wonderful. Anybody you want to say hi to before we let you go?
Real quick, say hi to my daughter Jessica. She'll listen. She listens every now and then. Of course, my son Nathan. I'll send him a link when he's back from the suck, and tell him about it. I do have a buddy of mine here, Joe Wall. He's a local guy I play pool with. I know he listens from time to time. And also all my cigar brothers and sisters down at the cigar shop, a 5-minute walk from here. Thomas Therina, the owner, and my A-number-one cigar brother, Brandon Missouri. I'll be down there later smoking a fine AJ Fernandez and telling y'all all about that. So, Mike, if you're ever in the area, Mike, please come to our cigar shop. We got cigar lounge, Vizio 65-inch, Wi-Fi, couches, poker table, liquor cabinet, and the cigars will be on me.
Sounds great.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Wes. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Wes.
Again, thank you for your service to the country. We have to take a short break. When we come back, it's the homepage and all the news of the day. Hey, and he's got the Chihuahua shirt. I love
that shirt.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Wes. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Who wants a cigar? Come on.
Live from Fort Myers, it's the West South South Florida Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hello, fans. I'm Twitch, along with Jim Amato, and we're calling the action live.
We're down to the final four dogs, and we still have some surprising contenders.
With the final four, an Irish Setter, a Bolivian Hairless, a huge Spiewak Mastiff, and a Mexican Longhair Chihuahua.
Can you believe they eat these dogs in some countries?
That's right, Jim. By the way, the Spiewak Mastiff is the largest dog we've ever had in competition.
That's dog with two G's.
It sure is, Jim.
It looks like the handler is having some trouble with the Chihuahua.
Shut up, Frankie!
Oh, that's no. Too bad. That'll knock him out of the competition. The judge is taking one last look, and there it is. The winner is the Mike O'Mara Bonus Best in Show.
Get a subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Until next year, this is Jim Amato and Twitch saying,
Who's a good boy?
The good boy. Turn your microphone on. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Solo Stove. A perfect time to upgrade your backyard with a Solo Stove fire pit, because it's the perfect catalyst for getting outside and spending more time with family and friends. A smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And right now, you can get a great deal on a Solo Stove fire pit. They are brilliantly engineered, made with premium grade 304 stainless steel, and a 360-degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. So easy to light with just a few bits of starter, your fire is blazing in minutes. It's perfectly portable. Take Solo Stove with you on camping trips and more. Shop now and get up to 30% off fire pits all month long, and use promo code TMOS at checkout to get an extra $10 off, plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com, and remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code TMOS, people.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and nominees for the 94th Academy Awards were announced yesterday. And as usual, it's going to be a battle of movies you mostly haven't seen. That seems to be the trend lately. I watched this one, The Power of the Dog. That's a Cumberbatch vehicle. It leads the
pack. He's a rancher, right?
Yeah, let me tell you, if this is the leader, it's a bad year.
Not so much.
It's a bad year for movies. 12 nominations, including Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress for Kirsten Dunst, and Best Supporting Actor for her real-life husband, Jesse Plemons. Dune, followed with 10 nods. I saw Dune,
Do you too. Know what Kimmel said last night? He says, they announced the nominees for the Academy Awards, where we celebrate all the movies we watched on TV this year.
It's true. It's
different.
It's so different.
It's a lot.
It is.
Let's see. Some first-time nominees include Dunst and Plemons. That's the year of the dog.
It's let's so just depressing. Always let's just call her Dunst.
It's so depressing, that movie. It's one of these, like, you remember There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe they grow on you and you go back. I watch those bummer movies a lot. And There Will Be Blood, I knew it was a great movie when I watched it for the third time, just because it's so interesting.
Right.
This might be the same kind of thing, but so just nihilistic and depression filled. Let's see. Kristen Stewart. She got one. Isn't Spencer the Diana vehicle? Isn't that the one about... did everybody hate it?
I hated it.
Amir Questlove Thompson got his first nomination for producing the documentary Summer of Soul. And Beyonce got hers for the song Be Alive.
Have you seen Summer of Soul?
I have not.
This is a good movie. This is a good documentary. It's worth watching. But Mike, the biggest victory, and I think you can agree that you must be excited, is that the Academy ignored Rita Moreno.
Oh, for West Side Story?
Despite her huge play for it. Totally shut down. So there's that.
Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas O'Connell are also first-timers for the theme to the James Bond No Time to Die. Lin-Manuel Miranda up for Best Original Song for Dos Oraguitas. O-R-U-G-U-I-T-A-S. Dos Oraguitas. Gitas. Dos Oraguitas.
Dos Oraguitas?
What does it mean?
O-R-U-G-U-I-T-A-S.
Oraguitas. Oh, I don't Oraguitas. Know. I don't know what that is.
That's from the animated film Encanto. Encanto.
What was Billie Eilish's brother's name again?
Let me look that up.
Phineas something.
Hello, then. Why don't you smile more?
So if Lin-Manuel Miranda gets the award, he'll have an EGOT. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. This year's snubs included Lady Gaga and pretty much everyone involved in House of Gucci, which only got one nomination for makeup and hairstyling. The Aretha Franklin movie Respect got shut out, even though some people expected to see Jennifer Hudson's name. Licorice Pizza and Nightmare Alley were both nominated for Best Picture. I've watched, I'm trying to get through Nightmare Alley.
What about Licorice Pizza? Have you seen any of that?
I have not seen that. No, have you seen that one?
No, they say it's a really entertaining time capsule type picture, and I would like to see it. So
yeah, but I hear it tastes horrible.
Tastes like anise.
Anyway, Being the Ricardos failed to get a Best Picture nod. Yeah. This is crap. What a crap year. I had no idea.
But Kidman did get Best Actress for Lucy, which A, was not that great of a performance. It was not a good movie, and it was a TV show. It's a TV movie.
We disagreed.
Well, we did.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg is up for... You liked Being the Ricardos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't have this veneer of what Hollywood should be. I'll take what you give me.
Yeah, that's why Oscar's so great.
Yeah.
I'm not
blinded by my fandom.
If you want to write down the date you're not going to watch it, the Oscars will air on March 27th on ABC.
Yeah,
the American Broadcast Company?
I mentioned to Rob yesterday, and I'm happy you rolled off that list, that the Oscars used to be...
Oh, yeah, this is true.
And I'm not talking about
incredible
diminishing what's been of the last 5 years. We've seen it kind of wane and slide.
Right.
All pre-pandemic.
But this is the death... Like, rattle.
Yeah, this is it. This is the death rattle.
So
because
sad.
It's just, there's nothing. And I didn't realize the movie sucked so bad.
When they
Maybe
went
it's because of the small screen.
When they went to 10 Best Picture nods, and there's not 10 good movies in a year, that's a problem.
Well, it's market dynamics. The studios held back a zillion movies because they thought the theaters would open back up.
Right.
So you're not getting the cream of the crop. You're just
not. Tarantino already make his last movie, or is he going to make just one more?
I thought it was one more.
I thought that was the last one.
No, I think it's one more.
Quentin, please.
Please.
Weird, quirky Quentin, please make it.
Do you know what Oscar said yesterday that was sweet? He says, when the award show goes away, I'll know how you felt when they stopped doing the telethon.
Yeah.
I love
the Golden Globes suck, and when they started sucking because they were a bunch of white European people that were not nominating people of color, they killed that one, and that one was the only one that was any fun at all. And by the way, Ricky Gervais, if he's not hosting, I'm not interested.
Right.
Well, who has more clout in society now, reality stars or movie stars?
God, you know what? I never thought it would be a tie. But I was sure excited about having those people out there, that ate caribou and stuff.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I was watching the thing that a guy put on, I skimmed through it. He put it on from YouTube on Facebook yesterday. Every star that was on the Love Boat in order, it was like 600 people that appeared on the
Love
Boat.
I saw that, and some of them were kind of meh. But it was pretty interesting.
But what's
right?
interesting is that the people that are like pre-19, I would say 80, you know them right away. They had faces. They had personalities. Now everybody is the same. That's a movie star. No one has any cachet.
I think what it is there's so much different content out there that's watered it down.
It has.
Still, you can still have the movie that everybody's going to talk about.
That's true.
You can still have, and Don't Look Up didn't turn out to be that movie. They thought it might.
They wanted it to be very bad.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it was not the kind of movie that's iconic. You'll still have it. As long as there are great directors. What's that?
Did Aunt Regina see it?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Peloton just figured out a way to fire a bunch of people and keep torturing them for another 12 months. They laid off 2,800 employees yesterday. That's about 20% of their workforce. And each person's severance package includes a one-year Peloton subscription for free.
F them.
What a horrible company. Really? How horrible is that? That is about a $500 value. You get you want to really use the company after you get fired. How tone deaf.
CBS would have done this.
CBS.
Yeah, they would.
No, right. I think the best is when they said CBS, everyone gets a Christmas bonus this year. And it was a CBS blanket.
Oh, I am just so stunned. I am still, who doesn't want to have daily interaction with a company that just canceled you? God almighty. Peloton did great early on in the pandemic, but sales have been way down.
Yep.
Partly
Big.
Because people aren't stuck at home anymore. They also just replaced their CEO. So
with the CFO from Spotify. CEO,
and he comes in. Did he have anything to do
with the firing, or did they decide to do all that at the same time?
No, I don't know. They let the CEO go because clearly he's mismanaged,
right,
and miscalculated. And then you're going to lay off 20%. You got to have a fall guy as well. But then you got to bring in somebody with some digital cred. And Spotify has digital cred. Maybe not their content.
True enough.
But digital cred, yes.
I like it when he does businessman on the show. That's fun.
Businessman.
That's kind of cool.
He's the businessman.
Scale up.
Businessman. Yeah. Meanwhile, you and I are like, I'm not going to get on that machine. It made me sweat.
I'm still, study. Still thinking about the Love Boat.
There you are. A new study at the University of Chicago found you might be able to lose weight by just sleeping more. Researchers tracked how many hours people slept a night and compared it to what they ate. And when people got a full 8 hours, they consumed 270 fewer calories a day. I know that for a fact.
Sure, sure.
Absolutely. For some people, it was 500 calories less. If I get a great night's sleep, I can roll and not regret. If I'm diminished, whether it be alcohol, lack of sleep, my inhibitions go.
And also, I bet it has a lot to do with late night snacking. If you're in bed, you can't snack.
I just think it's when you wake up and you're
sleeping and eating.
No, snacking in bed.
Oh, well, that's not my.
I eat
scene,
full
Daniel.
Meals in bed.
If remember,
I not recently though. No. Not recently. But been a long, long time.
8 years
since
ago,
I've done that.
When you said that you were on your sleep number, you had a full steak, and then Carla walks in and goes, "We love having fancy meals in bed."
We don't do it nearly as much now that we have a kid. But I'm also at the TV in the in the old recliner.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, my little recliner, and it's yummy. Yeah, loving my tummy. Anyway,
so what did Dr. Chicago say?
Yes.
Here it is. People who stayed in bed reduced their eating hours. It also had to do with two key hormones that control how hungry we are. We tend to feel hungrier and eat worse when we're sleep deprived. Well, I could have. You didn't need a study for Dr. Chicago to tell you that.
Dr. Larry Chicago?
I got a patient about six pills. And I swear to God, I think he plays video games till 5 a.m. every night. Maybe gets about 2 hours. He's as big as a house, he's as big as Soldier Field.
Do you offer him any advice?
No, I just offer him candy bars. Gets him to shut up. 270 calories is a lot. If you make it a habit, they say cutting that many calories can help you lose 26 pounds in 3 years, or about 9 pounds a year. My patient ain't going to make it 3 years.
No.
I'll tell you that.
You make him pay. Hey, Dr. Larry, do you make him pay up front?
I make him pay with a bologna sandwich. That's what I do. Thank you.
And now a little something, something. A woman was arrested Sunday, accused of stabbing two people and pushing an elderly woman in a feud over leaf blowing. Keong Moulton. 66-year-old lady, she is accused of stabbing two people who live across the street. According to the arrest affidavit, Moulton told Palm Bay, Florida police she came home Sunday afternoon and found leaves on her front lawn.
Leaves!
What? I don't know why.
She assumed that they had been placed there by the people across the street. She pulled out her leaf blower and blew the leaves that were on her lawn into the other neighbor's lawn. One of the victims told police that he saw Kyung with the leaf blower, and he and his mother went out to confront her. When the man's sister tried to intervene, he said Moulton slapped the sister, and a struggle followed immediately.
Ooh. Leaves! Leaves! They're leaves. Tearing my face off.
According to the arrest affidavit, that's when Kyung Moulton stabbed the sister in the leg with a steak knife. When the man tried to help his sister, he felt himself get stabbed in the arm with the same steak knife.
Oh, dear.
Police said the brother and sister also claimed Moulton pushed their mother to the ground, and she's elderly. Mm. Well, Kyung is 66. She's elderly, too.
Yeah.
Moulton, the lady, Kyung Moulton, denies stabbing anyone with a knife, but video was conclusive.
It was conclusive.
When Kyung was asked about her neighbors, she said she likes them medium rare. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. Medium rare.
Oh, you blew the leaves.
Anyway, that's it. I can't do that. Don Rickles can, but Mike O'Mara can't. Not in this day and age. Right?
Well, not today.
Kyung! Yeah, she's known in the neighborhood as Queen Kyung. We'll take a break. We'll take a joke number two.
I hear
we'll be right back, everybody.
Well, hey there. It's me, Winslow. I'm a Boston Terrier. I'm just like most dogs. I eat, I poop, I fart, I smell other dogs' butts, I pee on things to show ownership, but the one thing that's special about me is my owner. He's wicked smart. He uses the TMOS Shopping Center at MichaelMarishow.com, Target, and Walmart. It's great for dog food, treats, those squeaky toys I like so bad, and carpet cleaner. Yeah, sorry about that. I had to pee wicked bad. Shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. MichaelMarishow.com. Johnny on the spot. Go Sox. Oh, and woof.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, my good friend Mark Livingstone, he recently let me know that Cornerstone First Financial has merged with a national lender. My first question to him was, please still advertise on us. I wasn't that desperate.
I'm going to see him after the show.
That's what. Say hi for me.
Yes. Driving over to the old shop.
That's wonderful. All right, now I'll be thinking about that for the rest of the
No, I'm looking to remodel my house and see what my options are, Mike.
Okay, all right. The little house?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I need a kitchen. My wife says she demands an oven.
Ah, that's a 20-minute job tops.
That's what I said. I don't know why I have to talk to anybody.
I thought he was just going to get a new poster.
By the way, Cornerstone, which is the commercial I'm doing right now, they will continue with the same great service they provided for years. Plus, now they can originate mortgage loans in 41 states.
That's fantastic.
It is.
And they can go from application to closing even quicker. Their rock-bottom rates just got lower. So, whether you're in the market for a new mortgage or looking to take cash out of your existing home.
Look at that. That's why I'm going.
Like Oscar.
Yes.
Take my advice and call Mark. Oscar's going to go see him today.
Yeah.
Cornerstone First Financial. Rates are expected to rise as much as a full percentage point this year. Oscar wants to get in before that happens.
Yes. Got
to
do it.
I need to slink in.
No two mortgages are alike. The pros at Cornerstone will let you slink in, and they'll work with you, and they'll go over the best options for you, even if you're working with another company you're slinking around with. Use Cornerstone as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your slinky family. Whether it's a purchase or refi, Cornerstone First Financial is the only mortgage company I recommend slinking to. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-SLINK.
This is great. When you call them, say...
What walks downstairs, a loner in pairs, and makes a slinkety sound?
Here it is.
A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's slinky.
Thank you. That's cornerstonefirst.com.
Everyone knows it's slinky.
How did that happen so naturally? That's nuts.
You know, I think every child still, well, I mean, at least up until maybe 10, 15 years ago, every child has that first moment they put a slinky on the stair.
Yes.
And watched it go.
Yeah.
I would like to say something. I would like to say something, Pony. Note this. Slinky is a toy.
Why?
Because
did
when they show
stairs?
When they show it on TV, the stairs
didn't like
are
climbing
short.
Them even when he was 8 years old.
The stairs are shorter in
too
a slinky
work.
Commercial. And the stair, if you have proper stairs, a slinky's not going
to
work.
Well, I beg to differ. In the townhouse I grew up in, all we did was a slinky all the way down the stairs.
Was it a real slinky or was it like El Slinky?
No, it was a real metal one.
Okay, just checking.
Made out of tin.
Made out of lead.
I'm just astonished that you are dissing Mr. Brand Name and you are dissing one of the most iconic toys
Americana.
Ever made in the United States.
No, I could never make it work on stairs.
It works itself. You don't have to do anything to it.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I was more of a yo-yo guy.
Oh, yo-yo, fantastic.
Yeah.
But yo-yo's tough because the string would always twist.
Well, you
that
have,
was
you,
always frustrating.
What you
for
have
me.
To do is you have to remember to keep it the proper tight. I'll bring my yo-yo in this week and show you.
Will you put a yo-yo show on?
A yo-yo show, yo-yo. Yes, I will.
That'll be fantastic. Yes. Speaking of games, I want to talk about Wordle, if I can.
Yes.
Oscar, are you playing Wordle?
I found a program that gives you the word right away.
What's the fun in that?
Well, if you want to hurt your enemies, you just send it to them in the morning, and.
That's funny.
For my brother, who's just, he called me about the game Wordle 2 weeks after it was popular.
Right.
So every morning I text him, well, I had for 4 days until he got pissed.
The real answer? How mad was he? How mad was he about
that? It first started with funny, and then it started with stop it. And then it's like, please stop it.
That's awesome. That is so. By the way, for those of you that may not know, Wordle is a puzzle game where you get a five-letter word and you have to guess it. You have to try putting words.
Six
and you
guesses.
Need a source word. What's that?
You have six guesses yeah. to guess
six
a five-letter
guesses,
word.
Five-letter word. By the way, if you want to know, a lot of people have their favorite source word. Mine, pussy. No, it's just,
well, you love cats.
I love cats. I love cute little kitty cats. And are you playing it every day, Rob?
Every day.
Yeah, of course.
Do you care that the New York Times bought them?
I
does
do.
It bother you?
Well, I won't pay for it.
Yeah.
I won't pay for it.
You
I,
never
I
think have. When
over your dead body.
Now, first of all, there are... You know how we source news online, right?
Yeah.
You and I and Rob, we all do the same thing. We either have Google News, we have Yahoo News, we have whatever. You source
Reader's
it,
Digest.
The biggest frustration that
Financial
I have
Times.
Is when you will have a search engine news that will you will kick you to a website in some podunk town that wants their $14.95 for the year.
Yeah,
F it.
Yeah.
I will not read the story.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't do it.
Mike, you have reached
about Ted Cruz going to Cancun.
You have reached your story limit for this month.
It's a drag.
It
it's
is a drag. Drag, yeah.
And there's a local newspaper down here that I have every business subscribing to because it's it affects me and it's got all the and I've reached my critical mass.
I do subscribe to the Post online.
Not mm-hmm. this yeah, is so not I. for yeah. this venue because it'll bore you guys to tears. But while I was in business school, we went through a case study of why these newspaper subscriptions failed so miserably in their early inception.
Oh, the online ones?
The online ones. And why they're still, at this point in the life cycle of a newspaper, still fractured.
Why?
Tell me why.
Can
you give us a sentence?
Especially in the early days.
In the early days, they gave it to you for free.
No, in the early days, everybody was signaled by the New York Times, of all places, who still kind of does this now, by one company that had the market cornered on subscription methodology. In the early days of the internet, when the technology wasn't in place to firewall you or let you read half of the story.
That's the
right,
worst.
Which is the killer.
Yeah.
Yes. The New York Times was one of the first newspapers in America to say subscription, digital subscription. And all these little papers across the country found the company that gave them the digital subscription and said, okay, we'll do the same thing. If they got, they probably know what they're doing. And what ended up happening is all of these local papers that could afford that software ended up losing market share to smaller papers that didn't have that software because when you could use the internet willy-nilly,
well,
people,
good for them.
People would go
I don't know why I say that, people, but it's I can see that.
People would go elsewhere to find the same effing story because they're all sourced from the same place.
Exactly.
And you didn't have any, you didn't have that, oh my God, I have to read it out of the Denver Post. You didn't have to.
Okay.
No.
I get it. I get that's how they screw themselves.
If I ever get shut down, the first thing I do is I copy the headline, paste it, and search it again because invariably it's somewhere else.
But this also goes to the psychology of the consumer, and I believe maybe why I consider ourselves extremely lucky, but there has been a lot of hard work into even prior to these big podcast platforms offering subscription models, where we wanted to offer as little hurdles as possible to our content.
Make it easy.
Yeah, and we did it that way.
Yes.
And I think that's we've always our business model, by the way, stays the same.
Yeah.
Where
we give a ton of away for free.
We give a ton away for free, and we do have a different vibe with the extra hour that we ask you to subscribe to for, as far as a comedy value, as far as an incredible comedy value, we stand by that.
Top notch.
Yeah. I'm talking about my sex life and it's going to be fascinating. It's not going to be gross. It's going to be fascinating, and it concerns mood swings and penal reactions.
Yeah. Oh, on the Vona show,
the
medical
tease for
the medical
you're the
revelation.
One you're supposed to remind me about.
Yeah,
please
just
put it
gave
in
us
your
the
show
tip.
Prep.
It's already on there.
It's going to be fascinating.
Just for a little bit.
You're going to love it. So anyway, Wordle fell asleep. I think it was Monday night, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't.
Monday
pull it.
Might have been the first one I couldn't solve. Was it?
Well, all right. Give us because I know you have one. Give us your strategy for Wordle. And if you say, I just do it off the top of my head.
No, that's not it at all. I have two starter words.
What are they?
And basically a coin flip.
Okay.
One of them.
You don't need to give your starter word. I think that's yours, and you should continue.
I've revealed one of them already. It's smart because it has one vowel and a lot of really good worker consonants. But some people say the secret of Wordle is vowels. And so I have used the word ado, A-D-I-E-U, because that'll let you know what vowels you have to work with.
Oh, wow. Okay, because every vowel is in there.
Yeah.
Like Freddy ado?
Well, except for O, and then you can use a...
No, ado would be ado, ado. Yeah, I bid you goodbye. That's goodbye. Ado.
Ado.
And then if none of those are in there, process of elimination reveals the O as being in there as well.
Okay. Oh, that's very exciting. I like that.
And then the second one, I start looking for, if I don't have any matches, then I have to start, you know, from square one. But if I do, I start thinking in letter couplets, like stuff that works together, like ST.
Like SR or ST.
Yeah.
Or,
not
right?
SR. That SR would
no,
be
not
one.
SR. I'm sorry, ST.
Yeah. And then also,
BL.
Yeah. And
right?
I've also heard, and I don't know that this is true, but
Oscar.
It seems to, it's, that would be a fine
yes,
opening word.
It's great.
But also,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rob or Rob with three B's. But also, I've heard that they don't pluralize words on Wordle. So never put S in your anchor slot.
Really?
And okay. I don't have it as a fact, but it seems to have held true for a while. So what's the
Did
word
you do
that's
it
stuck
today
to?
Yet?
Not yet. I usually do it after the show before the promo.
Yeah.
I mean, now people get pissed. Don't get pissed.
All right.
I'm not going to even tell you what the results are, but I'm going to put Rob's word in.
Okay.
Which is smart. I like that.
Okay.
Ado. How do you spell it?
Hold on.
A-D-I-E-U, I think.
Ado?
You know what? Wow. I will. I'll use that as my first word.
Ado.
A-D.
And we're not going to tell you how many we got.
Right. As I bid you ado?
Yeah. It means goodbye.
Or like, good day, sir.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I
literally will lose my concentration on the show.
I got one
you're
yellow.
Doing it too. Of course, you're doing it too. We need you to be focused. I am totally unfocused.
Okay, what did you
closed it.
No, open it back up. How many letters did you get and what colors?
I told people I wasn't going to tell them how many letters.
You
I
don't
got.
Have to tell them. Well, that's true, but you can say.
Yeah, no, stop it.
Stop ruining it forever.
Stop
They're going to hate
stop
you.
Killing
it.
You're killing
people
me.
People are going to hate you.
It's fascinating. All right. Now I lost my computer.
I know one valve that's in it. I won't say which one.
People get pissed. There are threats.
How do you know what? Did you already play it?
I played one word.
Yeah.
I played one word. But I put it down.
The password is penis.
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 Oh, my God. We're on a break. We have to take a break. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Mar-a-Lago, a career opportunity, or Critter Man when we come
back? I want to hear about Critter Man. You've been teasing it.
That was the Saturday show at Happy Valley with his navel exposed. We will take a break.
Oh, no.
And we will come back. We'll come back in a weird moment. A few of them, actually. I don't like Critter Man. We'll be right back.
Happy birthday. It's cold outside, Karen. So I wanted to
it's
remind you to visit the TMOS Shopping Center. Target.
I'm sorry.
Dead Sox.
I know.
Dead
He's dead. No, it's Frosty the Snowman.
It's a winter promo.
Oh, my God. Look
you blew him up twice.
I blew his
He's
leg
melted.
Up.
That's it.
Look, I see his pipe.
Oh, that's disgusting.
All that's left is
gross.
The pipe.
Is that his pipe?
Yes.
Oh, man, let me blow that up, too.
Shreds of corn cob everywhere.
Carrots. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Legacy Box. Every day, your videotapes and photos are slowly fading away. They're decaying. They're sitting neglected in closets and attics. That's not good. That's sad, right? Digitizing your media.
Sod.
Digitizing your media.
Media.
Stops the feeding. No, let me start again. Digitizing your media stops the fading.
Yes.
And make sure those recordings are safe forever. It's the only way to ensure your legacy is safe for generations. Legacy Box is the easiest and safest way to recommend to reclaim them all. All the priceless footage you haven't seen in years. Just send in your legacy box filled with aging VHS tapes, camcorder tapes. What is wrong with me?
It's
film reels
sod.
And pictures. Hey, hold on. I have to wet my whistle.
Yes.
Yes.
I've got dry throat.
Wet something.
I think I'm dehydrated.
I don't think that's it.
And their team professionally digitizes everything by hand. at their 110,000 square foot production campus right here in the USA. I wonder if they have sweatshirts. You get everything back on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Bring your past to the present, and the future. If you want to give them a free one after this, I'm fine. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40% for a limited time. Order today to claim this exclusive offer or so for TMOS listeners and send it in when you're ready. That's legacybox.com/TMOS to unlock 40% off today. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. We've all used it. We all love it. You will,
Mike,
too.
Mike, I just got a text from Legacy Box. They said if you give them that spot for free, they'll send you a sweatshirt.
Thank you very much. From their campus.
Yes.
So,
like a college campus? Yeah, is that what he was alluding to?
Yeah,
I was like, sweatshirt.
Work
campus.
Bell tower with a clock.
Sweatshirt.
It's a digital work campus or
something. It is. That's what it is. It's really the metaverse.
All right, Critter Man. So I get the Happy Valley alert a couple months ago. Maybe a month and a half ago, that Saturday at 2 p.m., 2 to 3, they will have a special show backed by popular demand, Critter Man.
How often do they bring in shows?
I don't. That's a question I have trouble. I'm new.
Okay.
But they're not for kids very often. They do things for kids. That's the that's the reason I went down there.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What, is
because
that's how
they got things
you.
For kids.
Right on, yeah.
And I like that. And then I saw this. I said, this will be fun. For an eight-year-old boy, he likes critters. He's a Florida boy. And so I figured they might have a snake. So Critter Man comes out, and Critter Man is a talker. And we get there early, and Critter Man
talkers,
comes over.
As talkers, we hate talkers.
Yes. As talkers, we don't want to be around talkers. You know, we want to let my kid. I want to let my kid.
Does it qualify?
Enjoy
my,
the show.
Does it qualify as patter?
It's patter.
Yeah.
No, but it's pre-show patter.
Does he does he set an origin story on, like, when he was a young buck?
Not that
in the
sophisticated.
Everglades?
When I was only Critter Boy?
Yes.
No.
Critter
not
Lad?
Not that slick. Okay. I have to tell you, not that slick. But we're all ambling into, like, this little dining room where there are crates with the critters in them. And perfect music for Critter Man. And he's chatting with different people. And, you know, I pay attention to certain things, but then there are other things where you can be looking at me in the face and I am not even hearing a word. I am literally nodding, smiling, and going, yeah.
Like during Oscar's take.
Yeah. And so I watch him.
When
but
are
I
you
do notice.
Get to the point?
I notice physically that he's got one of those kind of zookeeper. Shirts on where it's like it looks like a zoo. You would see, you know, the green, the olive drab, safari shirt on,
like Buzz used to wear,
Steve Irwin.
Same type of thing. And the last two buttons are undone.
The bottom
like he
buttons.
Forgot to get them, and he's a man of larger carriage, and you can see his belly.
Oh, Critter
Man! He's talking to my wife, and I'm watching, and I'm just all I'm doing. This is like. The part where his navel goes down to his belt line is going, I'm exposed for you to see. I don't hear a word he's saying. I'm looking right at that. And then, this is a parent that had to do this. Some little kid, maybe 6-year-old, 5-year-old, no, he's a 6 or 7, runs from the back and says, your buttons are undone. And he's like, oh, that's okay. And he...
Oh, that's okay?
Somebody had noticed it, a parent, and had the balls to send it. And I didn't turn around because I don't want to make a big deal about it. But then this guy says to me, have we met before? And I don't like when somebody says that because, have we met before?
Yeah.
And he said it maybe 4 times to me until the point where I wanted to go to the car.
Yeah.
Where it's just, and he looked like, who's the celebrity he most resembled? Critter Man looked like a little bit of a combination of, I would say, Uncle Fester.
Oh, Jackie Coogan, from Adam's
and
Family.
And Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
I'll
he was a fat, fattish, leaning, he was a heavyish bald man.
Yeah. Yes, and he brings out the critters. Yes.
Can you, I set the scene a little better. I'm sorry if I missed something. It's a little room. It's a ballroom.
It's
eating.
A room.
What's going on?
He brings critters in to show the kids.
Okay.
Parents sit back on chairs they have set up, and the kids are all on the floor sitting up front. He brings out a snake.
It's like a tortoise, a rabbit. Yeah.
When he asked if he knew you or if he recognized you, did he wink at you?
No.
You have this gravitas of a broadcaster.
Yeah,
but you do have where you're like you know you've heard or know like if I didn't know you, you have this like you have this broadcaster aspect to you in real life.
Oh yeah, so when I walk into the room and I say, "Well, it's time for the Critter Man show, honey."
No,
hello. You make it sound like I'm walking in going blah blah blah. Blah
well, he no. was wearing his Podcast Village sport coat.
There is a matter of fact about you though. That you just have this broadcaster aspect to you.
Well, I mean, okay, fine. I'll accept that. But let it go, dude. When you said it a fourth time, I start thinking, you know, what was I, you know, did you bump into me at some bathhouse in New York City or something? He had that vibe about it.
He was, you know, had was the bathhouse, concerned. The bathhouse vibe.
And then a buddy of mine, another Central Connecticut guy, another guy grew up and from the area that I was born in.
Yeah.
And so we have identical senses of humor. And I walk out and Carla thought I was a little too over the top with it, where I'm whispering, I was like, I don't like Critter Man.
Critter Man.
That's right. And I was like, Carla, I just wanted to hear Rob say that.
Critter Man.
That's all. Critter Man don't play that way.
Hey, look what he's got. Critter Man's got a snake. Critter Man.
Were the critters cool?
The critters were, they had a ball python.
Oh.
Like the one we have.
How big?
Fully grown.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Thing's going to take my arm one day. It's, like, scary.
Any mites?
I think I solved the mite problem. I don't think it's a... No, this snake was beautiful.
Oh, good.
Beautiful skin. And, you know, and it was a...
Dermalskin.com.
Then a really, like, rare lizard. I think it's an invasive species lizard. And when he brought the lizard out, you've got 4 and 5-year-olds on the floor like this. Yeah. And he's saying, now, don't let him go where he wants to go. Let him go where he wants to. He don't like to have, people chasing him.
Oh, God.
Carla leans over to me and goes, he's really seriously letting go some verbal cues.
Yes. Critter Man.
I say, Carla, there's a kid that's going to go home without a finger, you know. Get Critter Man to the ER. It was
Critter Man says, yeah, don't look at the lizard because he doesn't like eye contact. He sees it as a challenge. Dude, Critter Man.
And one
above
point,
or below $20
per ticket? Per ticket? Below.
Thank God.
Way below? Yeah.
They had ice cream. But anyhow.
Critter Man vanilla ice cream?
Included or whether I paid for that.
A nice bowl of Critter Man chip?
Was it Critter a 2-scoop minimum?
And he was in, he was out, and great animals, well-kept animals. I mean, the snake in particular was just lovely. Really, really well cared for.
You didn't get a Joe Exotic vibe?
He had a connection with that guy. He had done...
Oh, of course he did.
I think he did inspections for her place, for the Carol Tiger
Baskin.
King place.
Yeah.
Carol Baskin.
Well, he's that bitch, Carol Baskin.
This is where they all are, down here. Yeah. All these guys are down here. That's the way it is. And then, I think I've seen you before. I'm like, no, you haven't. And I want to go home. I'm afraid of Critter Man.
No, I think I've seen you, and I got a great memory because my name is Critter Man.
Well, that's so the entire swath of Florida is like the reptile district, right?
It is the reptile district.
Historic district.
Right. By the way, I found a new place to get mice, too. So it's really, really, and they got a giant iguana and parrots.
You live a different life.
Listen, did you call up and say that you were going to need 10 parrots?
I'll need 10 parrots. No, I'm frightened of giant parrots.
Oh, I hate birds.
Because they can take your finger off, right? Can't they?
And they live 80 years.
Don't they have amazing jaw pressure?
Yes, and they live forever, yeah.
And they twist their head and then he's like, ah! And then they give you that eye and it's
do you remember years and years past the scary bird that a friend of my mom's owned, the one word that it would say?
What's that?
It was the name of the owner. Let's go.
Hey, bro!
I didn't know. I thought you just did that.
No,
that's
it. It's a bird. It's a
bird.
Dangerous.
Well, call
bird.
Critter Man. Let's call Critter Man and see if we can do that.
Hello, this is Critterman.
Critterman. I'm Robert Critterman.
J. Robert Critterman.
So it was fine. It was fine.
It was
for
fine.
My kids.
It was fine.
It's for my kids.
Did he like it?
We were in Pet Kingdom. And we were at the Critter Man show.
Critter
Welcome
Man.
To Southwest Florida.
Critter That's Man. It.
Yeah. Critter Man. Yeah. We have to take a break.
In the
we
heart
will come back.
Of the historic reptile district.
The reptile district. The historic. I've gone from the drugstore district to the historic reptile district.
Yeah. Trade up. It's a definite
trade within, up. I am within 15 miles of probably multiple reptile people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not talking about
dangerous hybrids.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
Land of the Lost. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Michael
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Shannon.
Thanks, Pete.
I like Dexter. To snack.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads. They're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Bit of honey. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or you're just getting started, Coinbase can help. Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple because Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app, so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. So if you are looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when they sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. Sound Town!
What's that sound?
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound Town.
I did not watch the Olympics last night, but I understand it was a big deal, so I pulled this audio. Lindsay,
have you watched any nights?
No, I haven't. Yes. I haven't.
You boycotting them?
No.
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 You would love it.
Why would I love it?
It's pageantry. It's all the highlights. You're not even watching the dump sports.
I watched a little bit of the. I watched a little of the opening. I fast forwarded through the opening ceremonies.
For someone that
does that count?
Throwback.
Let's check in with Rob's brain.
Who cares? Nobody gives a crap.
But the U.S. did win their first gold medal last night.
Yes.
Which Lindsay, I think her name is Jacobulis, in the snowboard cross. Snowboard cross is where she won. And I think she's won silver
before. And coming down to the finish, can Lindsay Jacobulis hold on to it? She does it. It's time to move on and finally put an end to talking about the 2006 Lindsay Jacobulis and begin talking about Beijing Olympic gold medalist Lindsay Jacobulis.
Now,
isn't it Beijing?
I think it is Beijing.
He was excited.
You're more of a sports historian than me. Isn't it odd that it would be 5 days in the competition before the U.S. gets a gold medal? Is that
extremely
common?
Odd? And yeah. A lot of people are sucking at what they're supposed to be good at.
Also,
you know?
In the middle of a pandemic.
So what?
You know?
They're still training. They're still out there. Come on now. You're the USA. USA, Oscar!
And also a sort of a sad announcement for the United States. Shaun White has announced that he's totally done. After he competes this year.
It's not sad. The man's almost 40.
Well, he's 35. But anyway.
Who cares? Nobody gives a crap.
The now, flying tomato.
Here's what I do care about is that kids, even at the age of toddlers, can still give their parents crap. All this mom wants.
I thought you were going to do more on Shaun
White.
Yeah,
what happened?
I don't want to let it be that who cares was just a joke.
We care.
Shaun White's spectacular. He's an
icon.
I do care.
Yeah, an absolute icon.
It's not sad, though. He's literally saying, I'm starting. He's got his own snowboard company.
Yes, he does.
He's moving to the business side of the world. He's been a zillionaire for how long since he was a teenager?
Right.
But he is
right.
So synonymous for the Olympics and has been for
correct,
so long.
Correct.
And so he
it
made
still
this,
wouldn't prevent me from heckling him if I was there and I found out he was moving out of the Olympics. And I go, who's ready to put their big boy pants on now.
Hey, Ginger.
Oh, God, Rob.
American hero.
I think I've decided this will be the last competition. Usually, after the Olympics, I don't compete much after the games because it's just so much to get here. It's, you know, so much pressure and so much weighing on you. And then finally, that relief is so wanted and needed. But yeah, I think this will be my last, well, it will be my last competition, which is pretty special, too.
Well, I mean, it's sorry to see him go. Sorry to see him go is all. Flying tomato. Mike, toddlers can give their parents crap, and I love this. All this mom wants is for this little baby to say mama, but dada is holding the child.
Say mama.
Dada.
No. Say mama.
Dada.
Yes. No.
You say mama.
You're getting everything.
Dada.
No. You say mama.
It's great because in a few years she'll get Dada every other Thanksgiving and weekends.
Yes, she will. When it all comes crumbling down. Just like Mike O'Mara and Wes Armstrong.
Now we haven't talked much about Pam and Tommy. I'm caught up. I saw the scene you discussed.
Oh, you're a dirty bird, Rob. You're a dirty birdie.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty remarkable. It's jaw-dropping. It is, what was that show, White Lotus? It was the most shocking thing I'd seen since that. But
yeah,
also,
it's pretty intense.
I will say that the guy that plays Tommy Lee captures him in such a way that you really want to hate
Tommy
Lee.
Well, if he's really like that, he captures him. I mean, and you are led to believe that Tommy Lee was a complete and total a-hole to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see that, you know, she liked bad boys and he was a bad boy. And, you know, if he was really even partially like that, oh,
yeah, 60%, he'd still be
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just
intolerable.
Just a real douche.
Okay, so he's picked a feud and has had a feud, Tommy Lee, in real life with Eddie Vedder.
Right.
Eddie Vedder, he says the music of Pearl Jam is boring. Mm. So in concert this week, Eddie Vedder referenced the drum kit that he uses when he tours and gives it back to Tommy Lee.
That drum kit, that silver, beautiful machine that he is the engine of, does not need to elevate or rotate to do its job.
So the ball's in Tommy Lee's court, if you'll pardon the pun.
You know what? Grow up. Yeah. But what are they, 70 now? You know, when they're having this
Eddie
fight?
Eddie Vedder is 70.
I mean, it's ridiculous,
I like the rotation.
Guys. You know?
Showmanship.
Well, it's showmanship. Yes. Absolutely. People are dying to be entertained. I'm with you on that one. Fantastic.
Amen. And I bet
Buddy Rich did it. They did that to Buddy Rich before Tommy Lee. Decades before Tommy Lee did it, they had a shtick where they turned Buddy Rich upside down, I think.
After he died?
No, not after he died. Thank you very much.
Let's close Thank with you. This.
Thanks Mike, for that fact, Mike. We appreciate it.
Who cares? Nobody gives a crap.
Did you hear about Shaun White? Let's close with this. This was making the rounds yesterday because of the Winter Olympics. This goes back to 2015. I believe this is Canadian coverage, judging from the bug in the corner of the screen, of a French skier named Yannick Bertrand, who, you know those flags they have for the skiing slalom?
Yes.
And they sort of have some
gates.
Give. Yeah. Well,
they're called gates.
He skied over one with one leg on one side and one leg on the other.
Oh, no.
And he got clocked. And not only do you hear that, you hear him.
Oh, no.
And you hear the announcer handle it in a most dignified manner. So let us go back to 2015.
The gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it. And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow, watch this again. Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur. Wow, the boys took a beating on that one. Mm. That guy needs a hug.
Mike, that's all I got.
I love that.
Now leaving SoundCloud. Please come again.
Oh, that is too good. Monsieur. That's boy. More sportscasters like that, ladies and gentlemen. The boys need a hug. That is fantastic. Hey, we got to get out of here. Our thanks to Wes Armstrong for coming on the show. Go have a cigar, Wes. We loved chatting with you. And thanks to all the people that call and participate for Talking Heads. Rob, if people want to get involved with the Talking Heads segment and you'd like to be on the Mike O'Mara Show, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, please send me an email, rob@mikeomarashow.com. Remember, that's Rob with two Bs. Include a phone number and why we should talk to you. Everybody has a story, and I love hearing them. So please do
that. Tomorrow, we will take a presidential quiz.
Good.
Show you our breadth of knowledge.
Good.
All right? It's that simple. For Rob Spiewagon, Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Peace.
Adieu.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sayonara, sucker.
Go playing golf and you're going to like it.
What about my asthma?
I'll give you asthma.
The mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life. And is basically saying we are being visited, something is going on.
I'm a phony, just like you.
It's in the hole.